Have you ever been shown grace in your life? Has anyone ever done something to you or given you something that you didn't deserve and it was a great blessing, so much so that you remembered it for the rest of your life? We're continuing our sermon series on special things, and one of the things I want to talk to you today is about grace, because there are times in our life where people show us tremendous grace, and I'll never forget kind of one of the first times I remember being shown grace. I was in second grade, and I was kind of a devious little boy in second grade, and so my mother had made arrangements with the second grade teacher that every day she would send a note home with me to give to my mother. And I knew there were days that the note was not very good, and so I would hide the note in the bushes. And I would go home to my mother, and she'd say, "Where's the note?" And I'd say, "Oh, she forgot." This went on for a long period of time, until one day my brother was in the bushes and found a treasure trove of notes from my teacher to my mother. And he thought he had died and gone to heaven, was in a candy store. So he picked up all the notes and presented them to my mother. He was not happy with me, with anyone, and this was a moment in which many parents fear about, and that is perhaps losing control of your anger. And my mother was very close. Now, what was very interesting was this was on a Friday, and my father was going to come home early on Friday, so that we could load up the car, me and my brothers and my father, and go on a hunting trip, a long, week-long hunting trip. And I was a little bit nervous that my dad was going to leave me at home with my mother and take all my brothers away. I sat in my bedroom waiting for judgment to happen, and my father came into the bedroom and he said, "You get to go hunting with me." And I was so grateful that I was going to be with my father, not my mother. I remember sitting in the front seat, and my dad turned on the car, and he was going to put the car in reverse, and he looked at me, and he said the words I will never, ever forget for as long as I live. He said, "The only reason why you are going with me is because if I leave you with her, I'm not sure you'll be alive when I get back." And with that, we went on the hunting trip. I still remember it as clear as day. Have you ever had somebody give you grace? It's a wonderful feeling when you don't deserve something and then somebody gives you what you don't deserve, a joy that you don't deserve. My favorite grace story in the Bible is actually in the Old Testament. It's the story that we all know. It's the story of Joseph. Joseph, who was told by God in a dream that he would be a great person and over all of his brothers. And he told his brothers, and his brothers, instead of rejoicing with Joseph, they decide to sell him into slavery, which they do. Joseph ends up being in slavery in Egypt, away from the family, but somehow, through God's grace, and because Joseph was a special individual, he rises up to be the second in command over all of Egypt. And then his brothers, because of a famine in the land, have to come to Egypt and get food. And there is a time where Joseph is there as the number two in all of Egypt with all the power of Pharaoh, and his brothers are kneeling before him. How would you have reacted? And yet Joseph shows grace. Instead of being angry at his brothers, he takes the high road and says, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good, and I forgive you." And he gives them food and joy and love and brings the family into Egypt so that they can live in the palace with Joseph. It's an amazing, amazing show of grace. Have you ever been shown grace? Paul talks about grace in Ephesians 2. And what Paul talks about is absolutely amazing. And I just want to read to you what Paul writes in Ephesians 2, beginning of verse 1, where Paul says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sin." You were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, that's an unusual way to say that you all sin. Because what Paul says is that not only do you sin, but you are dead because of your sin. That is an amazing, shocking thing for anyone to say. You are dead. Now, it's interesting about dead people. They can't do much, all right? Have you ever known a dead person to be able to do anything? No, they can't. They can't do anything. If you are dead, it's over, and there's nothing that you can do. So it's interesting, when Paul says you're dead in trespasses and sin, you are really dead. I was reading, actually, had an interesting conversation with a couple of pastor friends this week. I don't know if you read this story. There's a guy in Italy who wants to do a head transplant. Have you read this? He wants to be able to take a head and take it off one body and put it on another body, and he is absolutely convinced that this may happen within the next year. I had another conversation with another person who said that is absolutely crazy. There's no way it'll ever happen, ever, probably in our lifetime or maybe ever, that you can do a head transplant. And when I'm thinking to myself, head transplant, you know, Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise or I don't know. But the interesting thing about head transplant or anything that, you know, if it's just your head, there's not a whole lot you can do, right? If you're a frozen head sitting somewhere in a vault somewhere, you don't have a lot of power. There's not a whole lot you can do. You are completely dependent upon somebody else. And what Paul says is that sin makes us dead. We are 100% completely without power in our sin. That's why Martin Luther, when he wrote Bondage of the Will, said that man cannot do anything about his own salvation because he's dead. So we can't even do anything about our own salvation because we are dead in sin. And when you are dead in sin, there's nothing you can do about it. You're dead. But Christ is alive. Christ can do something. And that's what Paul writes in verse 4. He says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in the trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Paul says, just as Jesus Christ was raised from an impossible condition, so you too and so I have been raised from our transgressions and our sin. We have new life. And there's a term for that, and it is called grace. My favorite secular story about grace is about a man named Jean Valjean from the Victor Hugo novel Les Misérables. And if you know the story, basically his sister and their kids are all starving. He steals a loaf of bread so that they don't die, and he gets put into prison, and they keep keeping him in prison over and over and over again. He's in prison for a very long time until he gets out of prison. And he gets out of prison. He's a marked man. He's got his numbers on him that he was in prison. He can't do anything. Nobody will show him grace. No one will show him any kindness. He ends up at a priest's house. And what does he do when he spends the night at the priest's house? He steals the priest's candlesticks. There's a big, huge brouhaha. The police come. They find Jean Valjean with the candlesticks. There's no way he's not going to go back to prison for the rest of his life, probably die. And yet the priest shows him grace. He says, "Oh, I gave you those candlesticks, and you didn't take the rest of the silver. What's wrong with you?" And then he gives him the silver, and then he gives him the candlesticks, and he says, "With this, become an honest man." And Jean Valjean does become an honest man. It's amazing what grace does. It's amazing the stories that come out of grace, because they're wonderful stories. They're God's stories. Grace is a wonderful, powerful thing in the life of a Christian and in the life of the Christian church. No other religion emphasizes grace. It's only Christianity. J.R.R. Tolkien, who you may have known, wrote The Lord of the Rings, wrote an essay in 1939 where he made an interesting observation. He said, the reason why fantasy stories resonate so deeply with us is because it follows the model of the eucatastrophe. He made that word up, the eucatastrophe, you being good. Where you have a character in the story who first has temptation, and then there's testing, and then there's failure. But then, at the end of the story, there's redemption. He said the reason why these stories resonate so much with us because it follows the eucatastrophe story, which is that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and he is the eucatastrophe of man's history. That's what J.R.R. Tolkien time said. There are times when all of us are tested and are tempted, and ultimately we fail. But the story of Jesus says that failure is not the end, because Jesus comes into our life and rescues us when we're dead and takes the situation when we're dead and he makes us alive again. And because of that, the Christian church is full of eucatastrophe stories. We love eucatastrophe stories. We love a happy ending. And the happy ending is this, that no matter how much you fail, no matter how much you're tempted, tested, and failure hovers over you like a dark cloud, there's a light ray of sunshine, which is Jesus, that comes in and redeems even your failure. And that's called grace. And there are so many times when we've been shown grace in our life. My sister said that after that moment of hunting, the week I was gone, she said when I came back, I was a different person. All the bad things I did, I seemed to temper them down a little bit. Now, what's interesting is that I was not at that point yet a Christian. It would be years later before I would fully understand the Christian faith and that I would become baptized and start going to church and doing all the things that have happened in my life. But I think it was that moment of grace in my life where I understood that there are times in life where grace is shown to you and there's really no reason for it. There are times in our lives where grace is shown to us. There's no reason except that Jesus loves us and has redeemed us and he's raised us from the dead in our sin. For that we can thank and we can praise him. In his name, amen.